Tottenham versus Aston Villa, live from Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
On Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch every single live Premier League game on Sky Sports, BT Sport and Premier Sports.
Okay, Brian, our game is finished. Tottenham 2, Aston Villa 1. Your initial reflection on the 90 minutes we've just seen?
I think overall Spurs deserved to win the game, Bernard. It didn't start the game well. Looked very ill at ease with the, I suppose, with the way they were trying to play it out from the back. And Villa went on a high press and disrupted them from the off. But eventually they got into a bit of a flow. They got on top midfield. Højbjerg had a very good game as it went on. Skip gave them protection for the centre halves. Villa got the goal back and Spurs showed a bit of character. There was certainly no sense of them not playing for the manager. There was a good team ethic about it. Disappointing that Harry Kane didn't score a goal. Had a few decent chances today, particularly in the second half. But the combination play between himself, Moura and Son gave Spurs the edge. Whereas Villa, it was a lot of long ball stuff, a lot of poor passing choices, but also poor distribution. And then an over-reliance on the long throw-in stuff.
Which they were doing, Brian, from the first half.
Yeah, well, from the start of the match, I mean, I can understand the team. They have qualities. They've got someone that can throw the ball right into the six-yard box, and they've got a lot of big players. I can understand teams using that, but it just seemed like an over-reliance on today. There was no variation to it. And Spurs handled that well. Villa got a good goal to get themselves back into the match. Spurs come back, got second goal. And I think overall, just about deserved to win it.
So Spurs, 3 defeats in a row, massive pressure on Nuno Espirito Santo. What does this win today ahead of an international break do for where Spurs and their manager are at?
I'm not sure whether it was massive pressure. Certainly a lot of criticism and a lot of conjecture about where Spurs are at the moment, because while they won the first 3 games and he got manager of the month, I think after the first 3 games of the season, I didn't think they played particularly well in all those games. I thought they were on the back foot and they just about won them, but I didn't convince me they were going to have a good season. That's turned out to be the case. Destroyed by Crystal Palace, far too brittle and soft, well beaten. 3-0 in the second half once Chelsea turned the screw in the second half of that home game. Well beaten. And then Arsenal last week, they capitulated in the first half. Dreadful performance, defensively weak, missing in the middle of the field. Didn't show anything up front. Did a little bit in the second half and got a goal back. But overall, been mixed, very, very poor. So start of the season, I'd say. So today, I think, we'll encourage everybody that they can have a decent season. I'm not so
What's
sure.
What's a decent season for Spurs? Where do you see
think
them?
They've got to be in contention for the top 6 places. I don't think they're good enough to compete for the top 4. If the top 4, you know, the regulation top 4 now, the 2 Manchester teams, Liverpool and Chelsea, they're not in that class. But they should be in the class after that with the likes of Leicester, West Ham and so on. About those 5th, 6th, 7 places. But it's not great for Spurs. They want to be in the top 4. They had a few seasons under Pochettino where they were there. But from the manager's point of view, it settles down some of the criticism, gives them a chance to have a look at that game, assess the game and say, well, you know, it looks like the back 4 were a bit better today. Romero was an improvement. Emerson played quite well. I'm not convinced he's going to be the real deal as regards the right back problems they've had with Aurier playing Matt Doherty to a lesser degree. Midfield was okay today. The front, we know it's a threat if they get enough ball and they're stable in the middle of the field. But it was some encouragement for them today.
Spurs, I suppose, as you said, they're a little bit more like themselves. Is Harry Kane in the Premier League looking any more like himself for Spurs?
Well, I think he had a mixed game today. He involved himself in the build-up play, dropping short, as we've seen. A lot of talk about Harry Kane's position now, and is that his choice or is the manager's choice to allow him drift back and get more involved in the midfield build-up play rather than playing on the shoulder of the defenders and looking for chances to score goals. Today we saw a bit of both, and he certainly got chances, and he certainly was inventive in his thinking. That attempt in the first half, the free kick where he tried to catch the goalkeeper out, really good attempt to goal, only the height of the goalkeeper kept that out, really. Second half, missed a couple of chances. You certainly would have expected them to score the one when he was clean in, 1v1 with the goalkeeper. He kind of misjudged the flight of the ball and it ran down off his body, got stuck under his feet. Keeper made good saves. But was he better today than he has been? I'd say a little bit better. He certainly played with enthusiasm, and the combination with him and Son and Mora were better than what Villa had.
You mentioned Villa there. Just a word on Villa. They were ahead of Tottenham heading into this game. What did you make of them today? I think they're probably going to go into the international break in 10th place. Is that about right for this Villa team?
Well, I was disappointed with them today, given how well they'd played last week against Manchester United, and particularly in the game against Everton where they won 3-0. They didn't show much in attack today. Midfield rarely put any strong passes together or showed composure or control in the midfield. Rarely mentioned Luiz in the match except in a defensive from a defensive point of view. Similarly, John McGinn, it was only fleeting glimpses of him on the ball. Young Ramsey did all right at times the match, a couple of little surges from midfield. Not enough for Danny Ings today, we didn't see him. Watkins was kind of subdued, I'd say, by Romero. Wing backs came into the game in the second half. Centre backs did okay, but coughed up some chances to Spurs too. So I was disappointed given how they appear to be playing so far this season. But I think overall they're going to be solid and sound. I don't think they're going to trouble the top six. But I think if they can finish higher than last year, or 11th last season, if they can finish in that position or maybe two or three places ahead of that, it'll be a good season for Villa.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Here's the idea for the next 10 pods. We can do Paddy's little holiday review. Yeah. 40 minutes of review.
Like Catching Thomas here, no frontiers.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Just looking at the Premier League as a whole, another weekend, I suppose, another Saturday where Manchester United are making the headlines. It's either good or bad. Not good this week, and then to an interesting week for Manchester United, a game they would have targeted 3 points from against Everton. Where are they at, or where are they going, should be more of the question under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Well, I think the thing that caused them the greatest problems last year was away draws, home draws and away draws. They had to have this sensational away record where, 37 games unbeaten away from home in the Premier League. But it's the number of draws that caused them problems. They lost a lot of home games, obviously, last year, early on the season. They lost a lot of home games. It was the home record that let them down. So, you know, this part of their problem, the difference between them and Manchester City, 12 points last year, was probably based on the number of draws, too many draws. So the game like Everton, improving side, Benitez has them organised, discipline, we know all that. But once they get a goal up against Everton, they should be good enough to go on and win the game. Slack defending on a counter-attack from a corner kick let them down very, very badly. They weren't able to break down Everton often enough yesterday, and you know the discussion is about why leaving out Pogba and Ronaldo, was that a good thing? So they're on the pitch late on chasing the game and it doesn't happen for them. Ronaldo was on the pitch when they conceded the goal, but I understand why the manager would say you've got to rotate, and they should be good enough to win games without Ronaldo. They were good enough to win games without him before he came. They should be good enough to win without him too. So, but you know, there is certainly more scrutiny of the manager now when you see how other managers are making the difference at their clubs. He's got to deal with that. That's just how it is. And the only time when that's going to die down is if they win trophies this season. He knows that. He has said that the pressure is on for him to win trophies. If they fall off, been in real contention for the league this year, he's going to be under very intense pressure, I think, from Manchester United supporters as well as the media. Now, at the moment, it's only the media, really. I don't think it's the supporters. But, you know, Villarreal, they were very, very fortunate to beat Villarreal. But that will be forgotten if they go on and come through the group comfortably. So he still has the opportunity to do that. But the performances have been consistently ordinary since they beat Newcastle 4-1.
We're heading into an international window. What are we looking for in these two games, the Republic of Ireland, and what does Stephen want from these two games, do you think?
Well, I think it's very, very clear what we want. We want a win. If we get a win with a good performance and a bit of stylish play, excellent. But from my point of view, we need to win a game and not kind of become embedded towards the bottom of the table in the group that we're in. The Qatar match, I'd like us to beat Qatar as well, but I'm less concerned about it than I am about the qualification match. Why we're playing Qatar again, I understand why it's happening, but at the same time, I wouldn't be happy about it. It's similar to us that we used to play Oman regularly in friendly matches. I consider the Andorra match a bit of a waste of time. Why were we playing Andorra, one of the worst international teams in the world? Why do we pick to play them when we have a choice? I think Qatar are certainly better than that. They showed that last time we played them, the draw. But I think the Azerbaijan match is a big match, only from the point of view of what the manager is doing and what the manager is trying to do. It's a big match in terms, I think he needs to win the game. The team needs to win the game. It won't be easy. I don't mind if we don't have an awful lot of possession in the match, and if we're lucky to win the game, I'd settle for that, because we've had so many games where the narrative after the game that we were told was, well, we played very well and we created a lot of chances, and the style was very neat and tidy, and we deserve more. I'm not sure that has been the case. A lot of the games I thought we got what we deserved, and we didn't deserve any more than what we got. In this game, if we get a bit more than we deserved, I'd be more than happy with that, because international football is about winning games. Yes, it's about developing players, and everybody wants us to play with a bit of style. People put up with the Jack Charlton times when the style was awful, but we were winning games. We've moved on a bit since then now. There wasn't much complaint about how Trapattoni's team played. I wouldn't have liked it, and I said I didn't like it. But the general public and football people put up with it because we qualified. We got to Poland. We saw how that went. There wasn't much complaints about Martin O'Neill either when we got to France. So, you know, you need to win international football matches. There's an expectancy. Every country thinks they should be doing better than they are. Every population, I even found it myself when I was, obviously I managed two countries, and I knew about that. Every country thinks their results should be better than what they are, except if you're Portugal and you win the tournament, or, you know, Italy and you win the last European tournament. That's just the reality of international football. But we should certainly be getting better results than what we've had over the last couple of seasons.
You mentioned it's all about getting results, Brian. Are you confident?
Well, it's not all about getting results.
It's the most important thing.
You have got to consider the fact that you've got to prepare players for the future and the next tournaments and so on. And you've got to talk. You've got to consider the style of the game as well, depending on what you're. If you have a certain philosophy, you've got to evaluate the players you have and play a style that's appropriate with the quality of the players you have and the opposition that you have. I don't think that you can decide, I'm going to play this style of game, no matter what the quality of the players I have and no matter what the opposition is. I think you've got to take a balance on all of those issues.
Well, on that, if let's be honest, we need to get the result in the qualifier. Are you confident that this Ireland team can go out next week and beat Azerbaijan?
No, there's nothing to suggest that you could be overconfident. You'd be confident about that. I mean, we've not done it. They've not done it in any of the matches so far. You know, we've had performances in some of the away games. Say we play quite well in Serbia. But, you know, you look at the Luxembourg home game, Azerbaijan home, we didn't do it. So you can't be overconfident that they go to Azerbaijan and do it. Azerbaijanis will see us as a team that they have a chance of winning against. And that's how they'll approach the game. So they'll be trying to disrupt our play. They'll be trying to suck us on, allow us to come into midfield, make some mistakes, hit us on the counter. Are we ready for that? We'll have to be ready for that. Then they'll want to defend against their set pieces, the big strong men up in the box, Shane Duffy, the threat he'll pose, and so on. They'll try to prepare themselves as best as possible to deal with that. But, you know, we've got to do whatever's required to win the game. And I think we've seen that weapon has been used when it's come to it, even by Steve, and even if, you know, he'd like it all to be nice and gorgeous, or has told us that that's how it was going to be under his time. We've had to rely on those set piece goals or big ball to the far post late on, and that's fine. Use that. Use all the strengths that you have to try and find a way, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, "Oh well, we won't do that. We'll build her up and play nice football and play with great style and get all the young players on the pitch." It has to be a balance of all those things to achieve results, get us in competition to the last game or two in the qualification. That's what people want to see. I don't think people want to hear about us developing the team for 2 years' time, because that might not happen. He might not be the manager that he's developing the players for. So try and get some results now when you're in it.
Tottenham versus Aston Villa, live from Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
On Off the Ball.
With Sky, proud partner and supporter of the Republic of Ireland women's national football team.